And verse, somebody read that. Luke 28, put that up there for me. Luke 23, 28 says that, read for me. But Jesus turning unto them, that's the multitude, remember? And he said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. You see, because A.D. 70 was coming when the Roman army was going to invade Jerusalem, and they would be destroyed and go into captivity. And it said that verse, for behold, the days are coming. See, I just told you that. Behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For, this is what I just quoted, now pay attention. For if they do these things in a green tree, who was that green tree? That's Jesus Christ. And what were they doing to him? See what he's saying. If they do these things in a green tree, that was Christ. Look at what you're doing to me. How much more of what is the Romans going to do to you, the dry tree? You remember they were dry tree because he came. And when he came, Israel was a dry tree. They were not producing anything. All right, for God, they were in their synagogue, their religious group was not walking in the truth or in the light of God. So they said, he's saying now, if they're doing these things, remember the Romans crucified Jesus, but that was at the pretty well the consent of the Jews. Because they said, we have a law, and by our law, ye ought to die. So Jesus saying, no, weep not for me, because if they, but for your children, for yourselves and for your children, because A.D. 70 was coming. And if they do these things in a green tree, was he crucified?
Yes.
What did they do to him, Jesus, the green tree?
Yes.
He had the life of God in him. He was God himself.
Yes.
What will they do? What for if notice if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry tree? Who was the dry tree? Israel, Judah, they established religion, were all dried up. Read in Isaiah the 53rd chapter, where it was Jesus was brought up as a root. You see, you have to let scripture speak. He was as a root out of a dry ground. The Pharisees' religion were dried up. They were not entering into the kingdom, and whoever would go in, they stood at the door to hinder them. Verse 2 of Isaiah 53. All right, verse 1 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, that's Jesus, he shall grow up before him, that's before the Father, as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. What dry ground? That's Israel. It was all dried up. Their religious, you remember when he went into the synagogue, even evil spirits were crying out, we know who you are. And he said he was a root out of a dry ground.
He had no form.
He had no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So now here is this tender plant, this green tree, suffering, crucifixion under the hand of the Romans because he was delivered up by his own people to be crucified. He came unto his own and his own received him not. So it says that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. That's where 1 Peter is in chapter 2, verse 20. You just use that. And acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And notice what? With his stripes, we were healed. How were we healed? With his stripes. And then when you get over in Revelations 22 now, healing. Healing. But it didn't say that with his stripes, the nations were healed. The leaves of the same tree that grew up as a tender plant, the green tree. That's Jesus. Do you understand now? Now he's not heading to Calvary, but he's now in eternity. We are now in eternity. And the leaves oh, all right, 12 manner of fruits doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be apple, oranges, and so. See, 12 manner of fruits is the constant revelation knowledge of God. Do you understand that? You go in Galatians, and what do you have? You have there are many 9 fruits. And in Revelations, you have 12 manner of fruits. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, it's not apple and oranges, but it's love, joy, peace, joy. Because remember now, we are in a spiritual body. You have a new body. You're carved out. The church age, what the church age is doing right now, a lot of churches doesn't know. They think it's only for money. Money, money, you give this, you get that. And most of churches are focused on money. But it's not preparing the children of God for the kingdom. But the church age is to bring the saints of God to the perfection of the saints. Amen. That we will be formed and complete in the image of God. Amen. That's what the church age is for. Yes. Right now. Yes. Right now is... Paul said, my little children of whom I travail in pain or what? Until Christ be formed in you. That's the image of God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, in Revelation, there won't be any sickness because the Bible tells you there'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no crying and so. For the former things are passed away. And behold, all things.
And there shall be no more curse.
There shall be no more curse.
But the throne of God.
But the throne of God is in there in Revelations 22. Is it? 20 through 3. Just read on. Revelations 22. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God is there, and the Lamb shall be there in it, the New Jerusalem, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and notice what? His name That means his nature. His name is not just a little mark up here, but it's the nature, the image, the character, the personality of God will be in their foreheads. That means in their minds. The Lord said, the days come, I will write my laws in the inward part. That is Christ in you. Amen. Inside of you. Because you don't have the same flesh and blood. Because it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it's a new nature. It's a new you. Okay? That's after the image of Jesus Christ. And it goes on. He says that he has no form. In Isaiah 53, and I'm going back a little bit, back and forth to these two chapters. Isaiah 53, he says that he had no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. Now, when people read that, they think that he was so ugly, and that Jesus was one of the most beautiful. If you want to, I mean, he's lovely. Okay? He's fairer than, you have to go to Psalms 45. You want to go to, quickly to, because a lot of us don't read the scripture right. We said, there's no beauty that we should desire him. That means he was so torn up and messed up, so there's no beauty to desire. But Jesus was one of the most beautiful person that ever walked on this earth. Okay? But there was no beauty that we should desire him. That means you don't, it's not the human beauty. All right? That the beauty that the world gives, that we should desire him. Amen. But his was a heavenly beauty. Because in Psalms 45, look at that very quickly. Turn your Bibles there. And start at verse 1. My heart is indicting. That means meditating. I'm bubbling over with a good matter. I speak of the king, of the things which I have made touching the king, that's Jesus. You see, David had a lot of good stuff to say about Christ, a whole bunch. Now, you can have a lot of good stuff too.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Yes. What do you think about Christ?
Amen.
Amen. You can meditate a love song in your heart for him.
Yes.
You don't have to get somebody's songbook. You can make melodies in your heart for Jesus. You can sing unto the Lord. That's you. A new song. You're singing a song that nobody else know. My heart is bubbling up, indicting. I'm just getting, I'm so excited. I'm moved.
Hallelujah.
A good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue. Notice. Whose tongue? So when you come to church or anyway said, I don't have anything to say, no. Your tongue should be like the pen of a ready writer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, someone that, I mean, their pen is ready to write. My tongue. You give your, I mean, you calling you to say something, I mean, the words just flow. My heart is indicting a good, you know. Next verse. This is the verse. No, notice here, I said he's not a torn up, ugly. Yes, on the cross he was beat up. But, I mean, he's fair. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace. Somebody just shout right there. Grace. Is anything ugly about grace?
No.
Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God. That's the Father. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. That's the Father. Grace. He put grace in the lips. And by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is poured into thy lips. Because thou art fairer than the children of men. Verse. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh. That's the word. Upon his vesture, upon his thigh, there's a name written, which is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his name, Revelation 19, is called the Word of God. So gird thy sword upon thy thigh. Oh, most mighty. That's your Jesus. Now I ask you, do you love him tonight? Do you love this Jesus? With thy glory and thy majesty. See, that's the glory that he's giving to us. That's the image that we are receiving when you come to him. To them who by patience continue in well-doing. Seek for the image of God. That's what you're seeking for. But it comes by patience. That image of God is to be formed in you. Paul said, I travail in prayer until Christ, who is the image of God, be formed in you. He said, gird your sword on upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. That's the kingdom that cannot be moved. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously. See, he's going to ride. The scripture says, conquering unto conquer, victorious. Do you know that the reason why you're here is because one day he rode your way? That mighty warrior, that mighty king, that mighty savior. I mean, you weren't out looking for him, but here you are in church. It's because he rode your way. And he might have taken you out of, and you're the only one out of your family. What did he do for you? Because he rode your way. That mighty warrior. And he came and fought and conquered you. And you who were sometimes darkness, now you're light in the Lord. You're walking as children of light. And I like this. Let's read again. In thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth. And notice, and meekness and righteousness. That's what he's going to put in the earth. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water cover the sea. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Praise God. Thine arrows are sharp. Notice. In the heart of the king's enemies. Whereby the people fall under thee. And if you don't believe that, when you get down on your knees, and when he rolled and he released an arrow your way, and it find a mark in your heart and drain out all of the poison of the Adamic nature. Amen. Until everything that was in you that was at enmity with God began to submit. You fall under the mighty impact of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And you who did not love God, but now you love him. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Let me see your hand, you love Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's not just the enemy out there, but it's the enemy in your minds. We were at enmity, and it take the arrow, the sword, the word of God to pierce our hearts and mine. And then when he enter, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I notice this cannot be moved, a kingdom that cannot be moved, but is established forever. Thy throne, O God,
is forever and ever.
The scepter of thy kingdom. And you find that in Hebrews chapter 1. The scepter of thy kingdom
is a right scepter.
It's a right scepter.
Thou lovest righteousness.
Here's what he does. Thou lovest righteousness.
And hated wickedness.
And that's where he's bringing us to. Right? That's why he became wisdom. Our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's why tonight we are the righteousness of God through Christ. He loves righteousness. And one time we didn't love righteousness, but tonight what do we love?
Righteousness.
And what do we hate?
Wickedness.
We love righteousness. And we hate that which is wrong. And because of this, therefore God. Therefore God. Even thy God. Had anointed thee with the oil. That's the Holy Ghost. The oil of gladness above thy fellows. I mean, God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit without measure. I feel like shouting. God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Woo. Hallelujah. All right, now, all thy garments. I know what you think. You said, oh, well, the garments was when they myrrh and put myrrh and spice. And yes, that's okay, good. But you forget that you're wrapped up with Christ. You're clothed with Christ. And he with you. Did you know that you're the covering of Christ in this city? You're the garment that he wear in this city. And all his garments smell like myrrh. And aloes and cassia, where? Out of the ivory palace, whereby they have made thee glad. Not only do you look like him, but you smell like him.
Hallelujah.
Because you've been in his presence.
Hallelujah.
King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen. Notice, that's the bride of Christ, the queen in gold of Ophir. She did stand with clothes upon the right hand, the queen. Because you see, you got concubines and virgins. Solomon tells you that. But there's only one. One queen. One bride. And that's what we want to be part of. Now, you want to be part of that? You have to do changes where he uses you out. He has to carve you out. The Holy Ghost has got to do the work on you. You've got to submit and let the Holy Spirit work in you. See, he sent the Holy Spirit to do a work. The Holy Spirit is to bring a bride to the Son of God. Ready. Like how Eliezer gave Rebekah gifts before she met Isaac. Jesus is our Isaac, and the Holy Spirit came with gifts.
Hallelujah.
preparing us how to meet our Isaac. Because there's going to be a wedding. You're not shouting. So hearken unto me. Hearken, O daughters. Listen to what I'm saying. And consider. You see, the thing, don't just hear when you're gone and you don't pay it a thought. Huh? You've got to be consumed by this.
Yes.
Consider it.
Yes.
Consider how great this man was.
Yes.
Paul said, consider what I said.
Yes.
And the Lord give you understanding. Yes. Hearken unto me, yes. O ye daughter.
And consider.
And consider.
And incline.
What does the incline mean? Incline thine ear. Don't let it go somewhere else. And you listen to somebody else. And you wander off. No. No. I'm going to. My hearing is going to be focused on the word of God. What I'm hearing. When somebody come and begin to give you a little talk. You don't listen to that. Because my heart is fixed. Oh God. Your heart is already fixed. You cannot be swayed, enticed. You cannot be pulled away because you're rooted. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're grounded. You're settled in Christ. Incline down here. And here's something you have to do. No, I can't give that up. All right. You don't want to be in the bride. You don't want to be the king's daughters. You don't want to do that. All right. You don't have to do that. Continue.
No,
I could never do that. I got to be in everything they do. You don't understand. You don't understand. Because I just told you that the bride smells with myrrh.
Yeah.
Remember those lice-smelling perfume?
Yeah.
But when you begin to associate all the time with everything that your friends and relatives do, you're going to smell like them.
Right. Amen.
I mean, you cannot go into a place that's filled with smoke and come out not smelling like smoke. Whether you smoke or not. Amen. And Christ wants you to stay in his presence. That you will bear the smell. You don't understand. You don't understand. You see, you got it wrong. Somebody's deceiving you. Well, I have to be a part. I can't do that. Or No. You don't have to. Go ahead and smell. But when Jesus returns, he's going to say, away from me. You're not smelling like my kids. You don't smell like my bride. Right. Hearken, O daughters. And consider and incline thine ears. Forget thine own people and thy father's house. He said, I could never do that. Well, you just mark your name off and go to hell. That's all. Because you can't go to heaven smelling like your relatives. But you look at me on. Look at you all ready to stone me. They're ready to stone me. Look at that. That means, I'm not talking about no bodily perfume. I'm talking about the spirit.
Amen.
Their company. Their little jokes. You say, but I don't laugh, but you smell. You smell that joke. You get in your mind, your heart. Oh yeah, I'm right. You all can't look at me square in the face. Because you know you're hearing, but you're not hearing. Because they don't run after you. You're the one that run after them. Because they don't want to smell like you. They don't want to smell like your Jesus. They want you to come over and smell like them. It's in the Bible. And there's a condition. You can't walk like Psalms tells you, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the, nor sitteth, but his delight is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaves shall prosper. Then it goes on, when you begin to deny yourself, walk in the presence of God, live with Jesus. I've been with Jesus all day long. Linda, you know what I'm talking about? All day long, I've been with Jesus. I've been with Jesus all day long. Hallelujah. And when you come out, they're going to know, because you're going to look like him, smell like him, talk like him, walk like him. Because like Paul, I bear in my body, from henceforth, let no relatives trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Well, this way of salvation, I mean, to be in the bride of Christ, it's a high calling, but you have to pay a price. He said, no, God couldn't expect. He demanded Abraham to go and offer up his son, his only son. Can you imagine that? And if Abraham had refused, that would be it. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Ask Abraham. This is a serious thing. You can't even give up a little pleasure. I couldn't miss that. I have to have it first. Oh, yeah. Well, you're not going to. You don't make a sacrifice. You don't get nothing. Well, I'm going to get it. Really? See, you see, Esau could not make a sacrifice. And guess what? He want the bowl of stew right now. And what happened? He got what he wanted and lost what he... But when he sought it, when he wanted it, he didn't have it. It's not... In other words, it's not your timing. It's God's timing. It's when God called you. And when God handed out a plan of salvation or a hope for you or a way, you walk in it. That's right. See, this way of salvation. So God's not sitting up in heaven begging and waiting and he's in need. John saw a multitude that no one can number. And God promised Abraham seeds like the sand and the stars. Nobody could number them. Remember, at the end, it's not God begging. It's those that miss God will be begging. So you need to make, we need to make changes and let the cunning workman carved out an image, not like unto corruptible Adam. We need to be carved out of this image into the image of Christ, because he's fairer than the sons of men, and grace is poured into his lips. Hallelujah. You need that. You need Christ. You need Jesus inside of you. I feel like I want to shout tonight. Hallelujah. When you give up and you begin to make sacrifice for God, here's what happened now. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. He wants to be with you and nobody else. It's the one that wants to be with him. He wants to be with them. But you don't want to be. He, in other words, what I'm saying, he doesn't want to share you with anybody else. So take it or leave it. But as for me and my house, I want it. I want it. I want to smell like him. I want to walk like him, look like him. I want everybody to begin to see that he's been with Jesus. We've got to make changes where the world has lost its grip, its hold. Because you don't understand that when you accept Christ, that's another family. It's a total different family than the family of the first Adam. Well, your kingdom is not even of this world. Your home is not even of this age. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My servant would fight for me if it was so. But my kingdom, thy kingdom come. You see, the kingdom of God is really, it's already here. Okay? You say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and it's inside of you. That kingdom, God's working inside of you right now. You see, it's veiled with flesh. You've got to understand now, the kingdom of God is made up of men and women that are carved out of the first Adam and placed into the second Adam. In Adam, all died. But in Christ shall all be made alive. You're dead in Adam, but you're alive tonight in Christ. If Christ be in you. The scripture says, the body is dead because of sin. You're dead to the world. Yes, your life is in with God in Christ. But you see, Christ is inside of you. Christ is alive in you. So you are a new man. He said, but I don't look like you, still weigh the same. But that's not what God looks at. It's called the mystery of godliness. God working in you. I mean, God's working in you and you don't even know. So you don't even feel like sometimes. Because sickness and all of that, the outward man perishing and you're struggling and you groan. And in this body we groan and we ache. But that's not all. We have a new building. Hallelujah. Amen. And Christ, the kingdom of God, is in the earth because it's inside of you right now. Yes. Amen. So, at the second advent, it's just Jesus Christ come to expand his kingdom. That's already here. So shall the king, notice what he's going to do now. The king, like Esther. I mean, there was a lot of girls went in. But a lot of them didn't go back in the next night. It's only one got it. So shall the king greatly desire your beauty. He chose Esther. Read it in the Bible. For he is thy capital L, Lord. So what do? You worship him in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. And it goes on, the daughters of Tyre shall be there and with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. That you understand what you're giving up, what you're getting? Huh? Well, I couldn't give up. But look what you're going to get. Even the rich will entreat your favor. You know what that means? Yeah. Amen. Because you have access to the king. Yeah. And everybody wants your favor. Look what you're getting. The king's daughter is all glorious within, inside of you, carved out. Carved out. Nothing of this world is left She's all glorious. Man look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. All glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Carved out. Wrought gold. I feel like shouting, don't you? Well, I'm not going to listen to anybody. I don't need a church. I'll come to church any way I want to, when I want to, do what I want to do. Really? Then you're going to have on dirty garments. Because somebody's going to get a hold of you and put the garment. They have to take away, like in Zechariah, take away the filthy garment and clothe you with a change of raiment. She shall be brought. You're not going to get in there by yourself, but you're brought unto the king, that's Jesus. How? In raiments of needleworks. Anybody know what the needle does? See, you don't understand what a pastor, what a minister is for. And you sit there, I do what I do, I go if I want to, I just... You know, I see people just come to church as if they're lost. They don't care. But you know why? They don't even know where they are. Nobody's going to stick a needle in me. Well, you don't have a garment. Because you don't, and you don't have a jaw either. You understand why people come miserable? And you look at year after year, they never have a jaw. They get a little bit of jaw, but it's gone. And you know, they get their joy from Christmas. But now this is not the joy season. It's not. It's over. Got to wait again. Nah, that's right. It's over. But here's what's going to happen. The technical work that somebody has got to carve out. He sent the Holy Ghost. Stop. And then he gave a ministry. For the perfecting of the saints. She shall be brought unto the king in raiments of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. She's way ahead. How? That's why we tell you, you sit there, look so sad, preach your heart out, you don't have no joy. I know you're not on the way. Because you won't let the needle stick you, okay? The measurement. You have your own way. I don't have to tell the pastor. I don't have to. I just do what I want to do. I just do what I want to do. Yeah, you see that rebellion? Oh, when I go to heaven, I'll listen to Jesus and I'll follow Jesus. You got it wrong because you ain't going. With gladness, notice. And rejoicing shall they be brought. I look around and I say, no, 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 no. They're not ready. No, 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 no. They shall enter into the king's palace. You think Jesus is going to come in there all sat down and wait, Jesus, I got to go do something over here. Say, Jesus, I got to... I just have something to do over here, and I'll come on my own time. Just wait for me. They used to sing a song when I was growing up. Wait a little longer. Dear Jesus. But he's not going to wait. I said he's not going to wait. It's in his time. No, you see that? It's with gladness that you're brought. So that's why. How do you get? You need the oil of gladness, the Holy Ghost, that anointing. Yeah. You need to get down on your knees and repent and ask God to forgive you. Take everything out of your life and say, Lord, help me. Notice. Your fathers missed it, but doesn't mean you have to miss it. You can't live on your father's religion. Or your culture, ancestors, Can't live on that. Instead of thy fathers, shall be thy children. Can't live on what? That's the problem with a lot of people. They're bound up in cultures, religion, and the tradition, and they'll never get out of it. You could not pull them out of it. Because they believe that's it. They're saving that. That's salvation. And it's not. It's just a root. Rather, that's just dry ground. And you cannot put your root in that. It's dry religion. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. See that? Yeah. Don't follow your father's religion. God's got something special for you. Yeah. God wants to use you all over the earth and in the kingdom to come. The last verse in closing. What wouldn't you give up? When you sit there and, Well, I can't give this up, but you want him to give up his. Eh? He says, forget your father's house. Oh, that's offensive. You know what Rebecca did? Was it Rebecca? When Rebecca, Eliezer went to get a bride, and Rebecca... Eliezer said, I want to leave tomorrow morning. They says, the relative says, no. Give us 10 more days. Uh-huh. And he says, no, let me go right now. I got what I want. Let me leave. No, give us, let's ask the bride. Let's ask Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And when they asked Rebecca, Rebecca said, I'm ready.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm ready to leave right away. She could have stayed there and dragged, and the deal was over. Because the deal was she must be willing to come. And the deal still stands. You and I, the church, must be willing to follow the camel train. Hallelujah. We must be willing to follow Eliezer, the Holy Spirit, the cunning craftsman. And look what he's going to do. He'll make your name to be remembered in all generation. Therefore, look at that. Therefore, shall the people praise thee forever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever. Look what you're going to receive in eternity. So somebody say, well, I couldn't deny the flesh. I couldn't give up that. I couldn't. When they're parting, I'm praying. I couldn't do that. I have to. That's not love. That's deception. Love is what you just saw that. When you forget and give up, your name is going to be remembered forever and ever. What a reward. They're going to look at you and say, look, there is a Rebecca that followed. He's still calling out Rebecca's. And the camel train is still heading for the Isaac. Don't change the scriptures. It's not going to change. You don't have to obey it, but it's not going to be changed. There is a camel train. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Come on.